Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. Our text this morning is found in verses 1 to 12. John chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 12. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Father, we thank thee this morning for the Holy Scripture, the Word of God that you have given to us for our instruction and encouragement. We pray that this might indeed be fulfilled in our hearts this morning, that we might by thy Spirit be instructed in thy ways and encouraged to fulfill thy commandments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We title our portion this morning, Encouragement for Soul Winners. We read in Luke chapter 15, there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. And I'm sure this morning, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, there was the day when you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your only and all-sufficient Savior. You remember the joy that flooded your soul at that time. And I think that the next joy that many of us have experienced is the joy then of sharing with others what Jesus Christ has done in our own hearts and the salvation that he has given to us. And as we have opportunity of sharing this with others, it brings great joy to our hearts. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Even if they don't, it's just a joy to tell the old, old story. And if they do, it's a greater joy as we see God doing in their hearts what he has done in our hearts. Nevertheless, in spite of that tremendous joy, I find that I need constant encouragement. Now, that's strange, isn't it? To need constant encouragement in an area that there's such joy. There's another area that I found very illustrative of this. For quite a while, I was going swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning. That was before my father moved into an apartment that has a swimming pool and I can swim at night. I like it better at night. But at that time, the only opportunity I had of swimming was in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'd get up and I'd sit on the edge of the bed and say, I don't wanna. And finally, I'd get up enough courage and I'd go. And I'd have the greatest time. And I'd come back just ready to lick the world. That nice, refreshing swim and hot shower and get back for breakfast by 7 and just ready to lick the world. And I'd say, I ought to do this every morning. Next morning, I'd wake up, I don't want to. At first I thought it was just me. Then I started asking some of the other men there. I says, you come every morning? Every morning I can't get out of it. Some would say, we come together. Not because we don't both have cars, but that's the only way we both get here. So I know he's going to pick me up, and he knows I'm waiting for him to pick me up, and that's how we get here. And yet there's such a, it's so enjoyable afterwards. And I find that there are many things in our lives that bring real blessing, and yet we need constant encouragement. And I found as I looked into John chapter 3, some real encouragement from my own heart. Some of the things that would tend to discourage us as we would desire to see those of our friends and loved ones and acquaintances come to know Christ as personal Savior. There are things that tend to discourage us. I'd say there are three things I notice here. First of all, don't get discouraged with low percentage. You remember in our study last week, we mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 23 that there at the feast, Passover, many believed in his name. And we saw in that portion that although there were thousands there, and it says here that many believed in his name, that Jesus didn't believe in them. We don't know how many were the professions at that time, the people who professed as they saw the miracles and the crowds, professed to believe in Jesus. We're not told. I would suppose if there were thousands present, there might have been 100 who professed at that time, yes, I believe that this Jesus is the Messiah. We really don't know how many professed. We do know that it says Jesus did not believe in them. And so we do know that even if there were 100, that Jesus wasn't really that excited. And then John here says there was a man. Now we don't know that Nicodemus was the only one either. But it just seems rather interesting to me that there were the thousands and thousands at the feast. And then it says many believed on him. And then it says there was a man. I kind of get the idea that of the thousands there, there might have been 100 professions, and here we have the one, one real fruit. And when he came, he wasn't really converted yet. He just came because he wanted to know more. And so we have here the narrowing down. There was a man who came to talk to Jesus. Now I recognize that in some areas of the world, even this would be a high percentage. There are those who labor amongst Mohammedans that would labor for 10 years before seeing a convert. Now, there are some areas of the world that are very difficult. And on the other hand, there are areas and times that are very fruitful. In hearing the Word of God, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000. Isn't that exciting? Thrilling. And so there are differences of areas and differences of fruitfulness. I know in the land of Chile we had a large tent. We would put up the tent in various areas and have a 2, 3, 4 week tent campaign preaching the gospel. And sometimes as a result of 2 or 3 weeks of evangelistic services, we might have 100 professions of faith. And then as I and the other missionaries with us there would begin following these up, we might find that out of these 100 cards that we had, we might have 10 possibilities. And a year later, we might find we had one new church member. Now, from the standpoint of the evangelistic campaign, that might seem a little discouraging. But you know, as you look at this from a different viewpoint, you look at it from the viewpoint of God using you and me just day by day as God leads us to people that he wants us to tell about Jesus Christ, God's provision of salvation through him. Do you know that if God uses you to bring one person to the knowledge, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God uses you as his messenger, and that person is saved and becomes a growing Christian, you have accomplished the same as many an evangelist who has preached his heart out for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Now that's encouraging. Because sometimes we think, oh, that must be wonderful. To be able to preach to the crowds and see the people walk the aisles, you know, oh, that just must be exciting. Brethren, it just might be that as day by day we're faithful to God in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and aware of the opportunities that the Holy Spirit would give us, it just might be we could have as much or more fruit, lasting fruit, as the man that God has given public gifts to of preaching before multitudes. And I find that to be very encouraging. And so we ought not to get discouraged. Got so excited I forgot to move my piece of paper. We ought not to be discouraged. And sometimes it's discouraging. But we need to remember that there at the feast, it tells us clearly, many believed. Jesus didn't believe in them. In other words, there were a lot of professions. And of it all, there might have been more, we don't know, but we only know. John only tells us here about one. We know that Nicodemus, afterwards, we don't even know when, became a true believer. But when he came, he was still only a seeker. And so even Nicodemus actually became a fruit of personal work. And so we need to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we become discouraged and say, well, what's the use? We need to encourage ourselves and not be discouraged with the fact that sometimes we don't see many, many people profess Christ as Savior. The next thing that we find for encouragement here, do not get discouraged with repetition. We find in this portion that Nicodemus, who came to see Jesus, had seen the miracles. He was amongst those, apparently, in the previous section who had seen the miracles which Jesus did. Because he says in verse 2, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so he had seen the miracles. He had, here in this portion, heard Jesus personally explain about the new birth. And you know that Nicodemus kept saying all the time, how can these things be? How can this be possible? And you think, here he saw the miracles and possibly heard some of Jesus' teaching at that time, and here Jesus is explaining to him personally. He still doesn't understand. And then Jesus says also that he knew the Old Testament. He had an Old Testament background. Here he was a master in Israel. Jesus says to him, how come you don't know these things? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And Jesus was amazed. How come you don't know these things? Now, Jesus did not say, now, Nicodemus, I recognize that I am just beginning my ministry. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry here. He didn't say, now, I recognize since I am just beginning my ministry that you wouldn't necessarily know about these things, about the new birth. And so, just let me explain it to you very clearly, because I recognize this is all new. Jesus didn't say that. On the contrary, Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you're a master in Israel. In other words, you have studied the Old Testament. You are supposed to be a teacher of the Old Testament. You are a master of the Old Testament scriptures. And you don't know what it is to be born again. How can you know the Old Testament and not be born again? Sometimes we get the idea that it's only us New Testament people that know what it is to be born again. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, you should have known this. You belong to Israel. You have the Old Testament scriptures. You have studied these things so thoroughly. You actually teach the scriptures to others. And you don't know what it is to be born again. So Jesus implies here very clearly that every Old Testament believer not only could but should have known what it was to be born again by the Spirit of God. And so Abraham was a born-again believer. Moses, David, Daniel, Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, born-again believers. Jesus says to him in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and ye, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's possible that in Old Testament times, some things were not as sharp and clear as they are now. In fact, Paul talks about the mysteries that God cleared up to him and through him. And we know that there are things revealed to us in the New Testament that were not clear in the Old Testament. But here's one thing, says Jesus, every Old Testament believer should have known. He should have known that you must be born again. And so Nicodemus should have known this, but he needed to hear it again. Sometimes I think I get discouraged, especially, I suppose, when it's relatives that you know have heard again and again, and you think, well, what's the use? What's the use? You know, they know, they're responsible, and not really be alive to the moving of the Spirit of God in my own heart that perhaps they need to hear something else just once again. And so Jesus here patiently with Nicodemus. He should have known, a master of Israel. And Jesus explains to him again, and he still doesn't understand, how can this be? And Jesus explains it again. And once again, you know, I don't understand this. And Jesus explains it again. And he didn't get discouraged with just once again telling them that they needed to be born again. And so God says, don't get discouraged with having to repeat the old, old story. Thirdly, not only people sometimes have to hear just once more, sometimes even then there's further delay. Don't get discouraged with delay. As we look back in our lives, I know in my life, you know, God worked with me for a long time. I don't know about you. He worked with me for a long time. And as I think back of the times that I heard the gospel, and then I heard it again, and then I heard it again, and there was delay. Fortunately, God used different people each time. I guess he'd have to, because sometimes as Christians, we just aren't up to repeating that often. So he'd bring different ones who thought they were doing it for the first time. Sometimes, you know, the Lord uses us to present Christ to a person and they receive him as Savior, and we think, oh, you know, wonderful. And we don't realize that God has probably used many other people before that to bring the gospel message to that same person. And it takes time. And sometimes I think, you know, if God, only if somebody would have talked to me straight sooner. I think about some that witness to me of Christ and salvation through personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I thought back, because once I was saved, I thought, oh, this wasted time. If I'd only been saved years before, look at all the time I've lost. I didn't even know who Paul was. Just think, years before, if I'd have been saved, I'd have had all that head start. If somebody just would have cornered me sooner, said, now listen, I think God has His perfect timing. And so we don't want to get discouraged with delays. Then I rethink my own situation, and the first thing that occurs to me is that if somebody much sooner had gotten me in a corner and said, now look at here, and talked me into something, I wouldn't have met my girlfriend. She's still my girlfriend. We met at a dance. And so if I'd have gotten really cornered much sooner, I wouldn't have been at that dance. God had His timing. And as a result, she also came to know Christ as Savior. And I think of how God times things. And so we don't want to let delay discourage us. That's the dangers of witnessing in the flesh. Just thinking that, poor God, if I weren't here to do His work, what would He do? Because look at all the people I'm plowing under that just wouldn't get cornered if I weren't around. And there's a danger of recognizing that sometimes God has His perfect delays, and recognizing that He wants to use us, but that He's not really dependent on us. And that we don't want to push what He wants to do. We don't want to push our ways and miss what He wants to do. And so, as I think back, some pushy individual, insensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, really could have messed me up good. And so, it's one of the interesting things about this portion. I saw something in this portion I'd never seen before. In this portion, I saw Jesus' cautiousness. Look at a few scriptures here, will you? Notice in verse 3. Jesus, in verse 3, did not say, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. He didn't say that. Remember, Nicodemus had come saying, we know that thou art a teacher. That indefinite we that kind of included him, but he didn't want to be pinpointed. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, except a man. Who? Well, I think Nicodemus knew that it included him. But he said, except a man. Notice Jesus' gentleness. And then in verse 5, after this foolish question, can a man, what does he have to do? Enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, once again, except a man be born. Jesus' gentleness. And then in verse 7, you say, in verse 7, there he pins him down. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, it's true, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, because Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he says, don't marvel that I said to you. But then he says, ye must be born again, and the ye is plural. It's not singular. He still wasn't cornering him. It's plural. It corresponds once again with the we. Then in verse 11, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Once again, it's plural. It's not singular, it's plural. And then in verse 12, if I have told you, That's plural. Earthly things and ye, plural, believe not. How shall ye, plural, believe if I tell you, plural, of heavenly things? They're all plural. And I looked at that. Isn't that interesting? Jesus did not corner him once. He gave him the gospel. Very clearly he told him what it was to be born again and the importance of being born again. But he didn't corner him. They're all plurals. He always gave him a way of escape. We don't like to do that, do we? We like to get him in there. All right, you're not going to get away from me now. Jesus always gave them a way of escape. He was faithful, yet he was gentle. I was encouraged this past week as I visited one of our members in the hospital to see how God had used her to give the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the importance of being born again, to just about everybody on that floor and the nurses, and they all heard. And yet I was thrilled when she said, I didn't pressure them, but they know. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And as she was leaving, one of the nurses said, keep it up. She says, many have been impressed. Isn't that great? I know in Chile we had an apricot tree behind our house. And as the apricots began to come on the tree, you see the lovely fruit there. It was a temptation to go over there and just give a good hard yank and get one of those bright, orangey-yellow apricots and bite into it. You didn't do that very often before you learned that an apricot can be mighty bitter. And so you'd wait. And we'd wait until when we would touch that apricot, it would fall into our hands. And then it was pure sugar. We who here buy our apricots picked green and gassed and shipped to us don't really know what an apricot tastes like. And when that apricot will fall into your hands, you just never had anything like that. And God says that's the way you pick fruit. You don't yank it off the tree. You're cautious. You are faithfully, graciously cautious till it just falls right into your hands. We don't even know when Nicodemus was born again. We aren't told here. We know later on we find the signs of a believer in him. But we don't know when, because Jesus didn't push him. Jesus didn't corner him. Jesus gave him a way out. I was thrilled this week. Again, this has been a good week. We've been praying regarding one of the teachers that my wife works with. Just seemed like impossible to get to her. And we've just been praying that God would open the door and make it possible. And one day this week, my wife came home and said, what a day. She said, do you know, this lady and I were conversing. We have a lot to talk about since we teach together and so forth. And she said, all of a sudden, I don't even know how it happened. She was asking me all kinds of questions. And the questions that she asked, it was so thrilling. And that animosity that many times comes up when you're dealing with a fanatically religious person, there was just none of that. She was just wide open, asking. And she said it was so thrilling. And the most thrilling thing about it is I couldn't even remember how it started. It just dropped. She was ripe and ready to hear. She hasn't believed, but she was ripe to hear. What a joy, what a thrill. And so Jesus here tells us, don't be discouraged with delay. And we see here in this portion Jesus' extreme cautiousness. Now perhaps this morning, there's someone in our midst, and as we are talking about born again, say, well now, what is that? Born again, I don't understand that. Well, born again means born a second time. Born twice. The word also can mean born from above. But I believe the context here clearly means that this is a second birth. And Jesus explains it to Nicodemus in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, our first birth, our fleshly birth, our natural birth, when we come into the world, is the first time we're born. And our second birth is a spiritual birth. It's when we are born into God's family. And we find in Scripture that God says, those who are born once die twice. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so there we have the physical death. And after the physical death, the judgment. And that judgment, as we find in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, is the second death. This is the separation from God forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so this is the second death, the lake of fire. All those not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. So those that are born once only have the physical birth, have not been born again by the Spirit of God, die twice. On the contrary, those who are born twice die once. We find that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the joy of the Christian, that as we leave this body, as we experience physical death, we pass into the presence of the Lord. And so when we leave this body, absent from this body, then we pass into the presence of our Lord and Savior. And in John chapter 1, as we saw a few weeks ago, verses 12 and 13, it's those who receive Jesus Christ who are then born into the family of God. And John says in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Here's the second birth. And so those who are born twice die once, maybe not even once, if Jesus should come. Paul says those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And so those who experience the second birth do not experience the second death. And Jesus says very clearly to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see and will never enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus graciously didn't put him on the spot. He didn't put him in a corner, but he patiently explained to him his need. He wasn't discouraged that only one man came. He wasn't discouraged that he was supposed to have known and he had to repeat it to him again. I don't think he was discouraged because perhaps Nicodemus that very night did not come to a decision even. And Jesus did just let him hear again. once again, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born twice, not just the physical birth, but the spiritual birth, he can never go to be with God. Because those who are born once only die twice. And those that are born twice just die once. So we pray. Father, we rejoice this morning in the provision you have made for us in Jesus Christ, that you were willing to send your Son, that he was willing to come, and that through him you've made provision for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, this morning, should there be in our midst those who have never been born again. They're here this morning, they've been born once, but they've not been born of the Spirit. They're not members of the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. They do not know that mysterious presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and the joy of knowing that they will be with thee forever. We pray that this morning, by hearing just once again, perhaps this will be the time when they will come into this joyous relationship of being in Christ and Christ in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.